where Stratford comes for news and talk. The Lisa Wexler Show, now on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Father's Day is on Sunday, and so joining us right now is Kimberly Wolf, who wrote a book called Talk With Her, A Dad's Essential Guide to Raising Healthy, Confident, and Capable Daughters. Kimberly Wolf is an author. She has a background herself in psychology and therapy. She's an educator and a speaker. She got her undergraduate degree in gender studies from Brown and a master's in human development and psychology from Harvard. She grew up in Los Angeles and attended an all-girls school, which gave her a certain kind of framework for understanding women and girls and how they think and how they progress. And so this book, Talk With Her, is her first book. Kimberly Wolf, welcome to the Lisa Wexler Show. Hello. Hello, are you there?
I'm so excited to be here.
Oh, I'm excited
to have
you.
Can you hear me?
I can now. So, Kimberly, I want to get to the good stuff right now. How do fathers and when do fathers begin to talk about sex with their daughters?
Oh, okay. Well, I have been by trade a sex ed teacher for nearly two decades. So this, while the book covers 19 key topics and beyond, this is actually an area of great focus of mine. So when it comes to when do we talk to kids about sex, it really begins early when we start naming body parts and being open about how kids' bodies are developing and using correct anatomical terms. That's what we say is sort of the earliest. When it comes to the more birds and bees talks, as we think of them, the actual sexual health and well-being talks, that is an area where fathers can actually play a role. Typically, it's one of those areas where they feel like, oh, that's definitely a female caregiver, mother, grandmother,
or
female mentor. That is definitely not a place where we should jump in. In fact, actually, fathers should have those conversations with girls for a few reasons, and I'll tell you how as well. So when it comes to when, it's very personal. You know, there's a lot of discussion right now in this country about when is the right time to teach sex ed. Certain school districts are teaching it starting in second grade, fourth grade, just sort of different topics. When it comes to when parents should have these conversations, it's very personal. It depends on context. It depends on what kind of questions your child is asking you. It depends what is going on in your individual community or your household, what is coming up. And when kids ask questions, of course, we want to just answer them in age-appropriate ways, and that can start at very early ages. So at any time, fathers can really start having those conversations. This book focuses as well on the adolescent years, and one of the primary themes that I focus on is that that conversation specifically, the one about sex, can be daunting because, you know, it's very loaded for men when they're talking to their daughters, right? Because so many of them just want to be like, never do that ever, or I never want to think about you doing that ever.
Right,
so
exactly.
We should not talk about that ever.
Well, and I think for fathers, you know, it's hard to transition for a dad from a little girl and that wonderful daddy's little girl relationship to something where a little girl is becoming a mature or more mature person who has to think about boys. I think it's I think it's a very hard for a lot of men.
Yes, absolutely. And I, as well as teaching, I teach love education as well. So the way that we teach sex ed is much different than it was almost two decades ago when I started, because kids have so much access to information about sexual health online. And so we want to teach them to think critically about what they're seeing, ask the right questions, and also talk to the adults in their lives who are knowledgeable and care about them when they actually need information, or if they need help, if they get themselves into a bad situation. And so it certainly can be very difficult for men to hit this transition point with girls and realize that this may be something on their minds, that they may be starting to think about love and they may be starting to think about sexual relationships. But it's so important that men play a role in these conversations. Now, in the book, I talk about how you don't have to have every conversation. You don't have to have the whole conversation. You can split up the conversation over time. You know, one of the chapters in my book talks about how the talk is dead. This isn't just one talk about sexual health. These talks need to happen over time. And when it comes to men being able to play a role, it's helpful to think about it in terms of, okay, well, I don't have to talk about everything. I don't, maybe I don't have to talk about mechanics, but I can talk about reciprocity, or I can talk about setting boundaries. And then maybe I'll talk to my co-parent or the other caregivers around, and we can kind of think about what are the other messages we want her to have, many of which are outlined in the book, of course. And so I would say also what I tell my fathers when I teach parents, because I have a workshop where I teach parents how to talk to their kids about love and sex, is this conversation is not going to kill you. It's extremely awkward and that's okay, but you just need to do it and you're going to get through it. And it's so important. The conversations about sex and love are critical in so many ways for the obvious reasons that we can name, but also, and maybe I'm saying this as a love educator myself, I feel extremely passionate about this. And I've seen this firsthand for years. Teenagers care about love and they are interested in topics surrounding sexuality. And it's a main, you know, it's a huge theme right now we've seen in the news, especially. And the thing about talking to kids about love and sexual health is that they are listening. Now, this isn't to say that all kids want to have sex or that all kids want to get into relationships. The statistics show us that many don't until they're young adults, not in middle school or high school, of course. They wait for years. And actually it's a protective factor. If you're having a trouble thinking about your daughter crossing this transition and that makes you not want to talk, it's all the more reason that you should talk, because having conversations with parents, having all of the information, understanding how bodies work, certainly understanding where to get help or how to prepare if you're going to get into a sexual relationship, all of those things are actually protective factors against the negative outcomes parents worry so much about.
We're chatting with Kimberly Wolf. We're talking about fathers and daughters, Father's Day coming up, 203-333-9422. I think one of the things that is very difficult for fathers to talk with daughters about when it comes to sexuality is that it seems to me in our dating culture, at least in suburban America where I'm living, very all or nothing. In other words, it just seems to be that there's an assumption if there's a boyfriend-girlfriend relationship that they're automatically having sex, full-out sex, pretty quickly. And I know that there are a lot of teenage girls who are reluctant to be with guys because it's such a hookup culture. They don't want to feel that pressure, so they turn off to a lot of those feelings of love and romance early on because they don't feel like they have time to develop love and romance because they're expected to be so sexually active so early.
Mm-hmm. I've certainly seen some of the studies that point to those themes where we talk about, okay, you know, a lot of these kids are just like, this is just too much. And I'm not ready for this. Or I've got too much to do. Or in a lot of suburban communities, I have goals, and having a significant other and having that whole other worry or all of the drama actually doesn't fit in with everything else that I'm doing right now to try and get to the next stage of my life. Kids right now are under a ton of pressure. But I also, from firsthand experience, know that there are tons of, you know, teenagers, this is a huge theme for them. And what I meant to say, which I didn't say earlier, is that when we talk to kids about love and sex, even if they're not engaged at the moment or at that particular part in their life, it's actually a really great vehicle of a conversation to teach them about other really important themes like self-care, like setting healthy boundaries, like understanding how it is that people actually make you feel and if it's good or if it's bad. Sometimes in relationships, kids can think, oh, this is a great relationship, but actually it's really tearing them up inside. The other person's making them feel self-conscious, or they're spending less time with their friends, or they're losing focus. When we talk to kids about love, we can talk to them about boundary setting. We can talk to them about healthy relationships. We can talk to them about standing up for themselves. And when I have a curriculum called Love Class, which I've developed that I teach in schools around the country. And actually, I know you have a background in law, but it is based on a law school negotiations curriculum, because it is my belief through my study that if you know how to negotiate in one context, you can negotiate another. If you know how to set boundaries, if you know how to speak your mind in one scenario, you can speak it in another. So when I talk to my kids about love in high school, what I'm teaching them is very high level negotiations and boundary setting and communication techniques, but they're basically cloaked in themes of love and romance.
Interesting.
When we think about, it's really, and it's effective.
Yeah.
And I talk to the kids and they, you know, this isn't just sex ed anymore. This isn't, you know, because they can go online for sex ed. We don't want them to do that, but they do.
Yeah.
What we need to teach them is how to think critically about the environment that they're growing up in. And even if we're not sure that they are interested, or, and they may not be, you know, everybody knows their own kid. Everybody knows their own daughter. Everybody knows their own sons. You know, it's really a powerful topic to bring up. In addition, I always say, you know, people say, you're such an easy public speaker. How do you do that? I could never do that. I say, well, you know, I started out teaching sex ed, so I can talk to anybody about anything,
that's
anywhere.
Right. That's right.
If you can have these conversations with your kids, you can talk to them about anything.
Yeah. It's hard to have these conversations with kids. We're chatting with Kimberly Wolf, and the book is called Talk With Her, and it's a focus on how to make a father really a more effective, better father and better communicator, with a lot of specific drills about how to do that. Kimberly, can you come, can you stay with us? We're going to have to come right back. We've got some commercial messages.
Yes.
Okay. We'll be chatting with Kimberly Wolf. We'll get into it at 203-333-9422. Fathers and daughters coming up.
Here's what Connecticut is saying about Lisa Wexler.
You got chutzpah. You tell it the way it is.
Back to the Lisa Wexler Show on WICC 600.
And welcome back to the show. Rejoining us is Kimberly Wolf, author of Talk With Her, A Dad's Essential Guide to Raising Healthy, Confident, and Capable Daughters. I just want to ask you, Kimberly. Hello, Kimberly, you there? Hello?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay,
yes,
so
I'm here.
Let me ask you this just as a basic. How important is it for a woman, for a young woman growing up, to have a healthy relationship with her father in terms of what does it portend, what does it foreshadow for her own well-being to have a father that she can rely on and talk to and feels that this person supports her in her life?
We know traditionally when experts have been asked this question, and people in general who are not experts in the field, we know that fathers can be extremely important in boosting their daughter's relationships. And that was traditionally kind of what it was boiled down to: be a good man so that your daughter will marry a good man. We know that there's a lot that's problematic about that. Not everybody get married, not everybody will marry a man, but that is really important in terms of some of the things I've already spoken about, which is how do we have conversations? How do we communicate knowing that they're supported? When men look at their daughters in the eye and talk to them, make time for them, have conversations with them, share their wisdom and their advice, their failings and their learnings, girls learn a lot from that, not just from the actual words themselves and the sound bites, so to speak, that men use, but also the example that men set of people who are taking their daughters seriously and who believe in their daughters, who are present in their lives. That changes girls' expectations for the better in terms of what they can expect in their future educational context and professional context and romantic context later on. By the research, there's just so many positive outcomes that come from men being close with their daughters, from better grades and achievement, stronger self-esteem and body image. Having fathers around to have these conversations can curb risky behaviors, as I mentioned, in terms of sexuality, but also substance use, can reduce the chances that she'll have an eating disorder, and gives her really strong communication skills and also the ability to achieve in her both educational and professional context later on. So there are just a broad variety of benefits. People will say, well, does she have to have a father figure? No, mother figures can certainly have broad-ranging impacts as well, as we know. That goes without saying. There is so much less research on the impact fathers can have, but it is vast. And so it is so important that men get in there, have these conversations, be present. And even if it's not comfortable, even if it doesn't feel like, oh, I'm getting this ball across, or I'm really sticking the landing here, I'm doing great here. You know, girls, teenage girls especially, they're not going to give you a ton of positive feedback on your greatest parenting efforts. You might get more eye rolls. But if you're there to experience the eye rolls and getting shut down, that probably means that you're heading in the right direction.
So Kimberly Wolf, one of the things you say that fathers need to avoid, messaging traps to avoid. You give three really good examples. One is body shaming. The other is holding your daughter responsible for the clothing options promoted to her. And I thought this was really interesting. You say girls find themselves in a highly sexualized culture, which plays no small part in shaping their views of what are acceptable wardrobe choices. There is no shortage of mass media imagery depicting scantily clad girls and women. Girls see the sexualized images that garner likes on social media, Retailers promote and sell sexy clothing to young women everywhere. As Dr. Rogers told me, you wrote, the question is less about what girls choose to wear and more about the options we present as valuable to girls. So you know what? This struck a chord with me because occasionally I find myself going to a bar bat mitzvah. And I cannot believe what I'm seeing in these 12 and 13 and 14-year-old girls. I cannot believe the way their quote-unquote mothers and fathers are letting them go out. And I mean this truly. I understand that there are fewer choices available if everyone's going to the same place and everyone's wearing something strapless with, as we used to say, a skirt up to their puppet. Okay, that's the expression that I grew up with. But nonetheless,
my mom still says it.
Your mother still says it. Okay. But I raised a daughter. She's still in her 20s, barely. And she knows, and I know, that I don't care what those choices were in the stores. My daughter never left the house looking like that. And that's just true. And so where is that in terms of the fine line that a mother, that a father has to draw in terms of not body shaming and not making a child feel responsible, but also a reality check that some of these clothes are completely inappropriate and send the wrong signal about a person's maturity and sexuality, because they do.
It is an extremely, extremely fine line. There is the chapter that you read from exists in the book because one of the areas, as you've pointed out, that's most anxiety inducing for fathers especially is clothing.
Yeah.
And it is such a fine line. It's a very hard question to answer even for an expert like myself, which I say in the book. And it depends very much on family values. You know, I would say that, you know, the problem is not that girls are wearing these clothes in many ways. The problem is that others are not being taught to respect them. Certainly, I understand the concern with girls at young ages being sexualized, but that is a cultural issue. When girls are wearing these clothes, they're not necessarily feeling like, oh, I look so sexy. They don't, a lot of times they're not. They're just like, I like the way that looks. I feel, it feels cute. And a lot of what that is what I'm talking about is what culture is serving up to them as what is cute for girls and what is available to them. And in terms of parents, you know, letting girls wear things that are more revealing, parents have all different ideals of what is appropriate or what they will let their girls wear. And I think that when we're talking about body shaming, parents are, you know, you can, parents at the baseline, parents pay for clothes, right? My mom wouldn't let me wear certain things. She would let me wear other things. I remember seeing my dad's like eye pop out of his head sometimes when I was wearing certain things. I talk about in the book that I used to get in trouble at my school. We wore uniforms because my skirt was always too short, but I wasn't trying to be sexy back then. I just thought it looked better. I just liked the way it looked better. Okay. And that is what that's what the two doctors in the book who are in this chapter talk about, is that girls don't necessarily feel like they're being sexy. They just like it. They're, you know, we read in as adults, especially men who are like, well, I know, you know, there's a man quoted in that chapter. I know how boys think and I know how men think. And that's why this really scares me. But girls aren't really talking about that. So, or thinking about that. Now it's valuable to say there's a problem in our society where people may look at you and they may make assumptions based on what you're wearing. And it's important to be situationally aware and be aware of who you're around and making sure you're feeling safe. But we never want to talk to girls about saying like, well, you look like you're asking for it, or you look really slutty in that, or, you know, that looks terrible on you, or, you know, things like that. Girls have enough negative imagery shown to them. They have enough negative messaging about their bodies and so much pressure in this country about what they should look like and how they should eat and what they should wear. And in certain ways, the tides are changing. And so as parents, what's really important, I think, and again, it's delicate, right? Because
it
I
is.
Think realistically, as a parent, you can look and be like, that is super inappropriate. And you do look like a little too sexy in that. And I also don't want to body shame you. And certainly if you're a father, the recommendation, somebody on a podcast asked me, they said, so what's the recommendation for fathers who are worried about what their girls are wearing or any kind of body image? I'm like, the recommendation would be to, you know, if you're a father, to really just not say anything at all. Don't say anything. If you're a dad, do not say anything.
So it's a minefield for a father. But what if a father is a single parent?
If a father is a single parent, it's still very tricky to jump in on any conversations related to body image. There are some tricks, right? So one, as a father, often, you know, this is anecdotal, and we all know this, dads, they get really nervous about this specific topic, right? And they're often going to have this more emotional reaction like, oh, because I know what other boys and men are thinking. If you feel that come, if you're a father and you feel that type of reaction coming up in yourself, just play it real cool and reach out to some other women in your community. You can start, and or other educators, I say, at the schools as well. You know, say, look, I'm a little concerned about this. What are the kids wearing at school? What are the other parents talking about? How should I be thinking about this? If there is another female caregiver, a grandparent, an aunt, a family friend, talk with those people before you say anything to your daughter. It really is not advised to talk to your daughter about body image. One of the things that comes up is she wants to be healthy, or I feel like she's overweight, or she's not in shape, or she's not exercising enough. You know, those are sort of, you know, on one hand, they're realistic. On the other hand, they can be kind of judgy, and they can, if you voice those opinions, you can have a very negative impact.
It's
and
such
so
a mindset.
The recommendation, it is. And so, but and that's why I wrote the book, because there is a path forward and there are concrete strategies. So if you are concerned about anything with your daughter's physical appearance, again, don't say anything. It's really hard. You can get coaching from a school counselor. You can get coaching from a family therapist who specializes in these types of themes. If there's one working with your family, or you can reach out in the community. But also, if you're worried about any of that, you can call your, and your daughter is underage, call your daughter's pediatrician and talk to them about these concerns. Oftentimes they're going to be able to allay your fears, and they'll also be able to work with you. If you are very concerned about some physical issue that your daughter is having, if she's too skinny, or if you don't think she's eating well enough, definitely check in with a medical professional. And if there is something to be done, if there's some coaching that can be done with regard to healthier habits, you can schedule a doctor's appointment and maybe say, this might be something to watch out for. And maybe when your daughter's in with her doctor, she can talk to her about that. And it's much less threatening, and it doesn't put a father in that position of being the one who's like, well, I think you should look a different way, or you should do this, because that's not going to end well. If you want to have a good impact on your daughter's physical well-being, you know, that's a good place to set an example. Live an active lifestyle, serve healthy foods, encourage her to do things that,
you
know, boost her well-being.
Kimberly Wolf, the book is called Talk With Her, A Dad's Essential Guide to Raising Healthy, Confident, and Capable Daughters. Thank you so much, Kimberly, for joining us today. We'll be back with the next hour of The Lisa Wexler Show coming right up.